I'm presenting today part of my PhD thesis. I'm looking basically on gender and innovation, and today I'm clarifying, I'm exposing to you one of the papers that are constituting my PhD. Today, why the topic, why should we bother about gender and innovation? What has been done so far on gender in innovation literature, what are my research objectives, what kind of analytical framework I've been using for my study, the data collection and analysis findings and conclusions, so just not to get lost in the way. So why should we bother about gender, and specifically gender in innovation? Well, gender is a public concern. The European Commission has put lots of effort in promoting gender equality in research institutions and innovation. It has developed, along with other organizations, key policies and research on gender imbalances in scientific research, especially in technology, science, math, engineering. At the theoretical level, innovation literature focuses mainly on innovation disruptiveness, breakthroughs, networks of innovations, the role of users in the innovation process, but gender gets a bit lost in there. And only recently, in the past few years, there has been a focus on gender within the innovation literature. So what these few works have sustained about why gender should be included in an analysis of innovation is that gender boosts organizational innovativeness and competitiveness. So the fact of having an equal number of male and females enables creativity in the workplace, and it opens up opportunities for conceptualizing different types of innovations. What has been found in the literature on gender innovation is that the identity of the innovator is a male with certain masculine features, and that alternative ways of doing innovations are often minimized when women and certain types of femininities are not included as part of the innovation process. Therefore, certain actors are excluded and traditional forms of masculinity strengthened. So what this body of literature has seen as lacking a gender focus on innovation, the reason was basically that there is not much focus on the person that is making the innovation. There is more much focus on the process, on the outcome, on the successful or unsuccessful factors of an innovation, rather than the actors that are making it. So they propose three different ways of looking at gender in innovation. The first is looking at gender as a variable, basically counting how many women and men are in research positions, and also how gender is can be a moderator of different relationships, for example, between creativity and the perception of the workplace. They found that women's ideas are usually less implemented than men's, that there are fewer numbers of women in research positions, and even when women occupy R&D positions, their role is still marginal. Another approach to looking at gender in innovation is thinking of gendering as a process that occurs within the innovation process and that affects the innovation process. So that means that gender as a process transform the innovation process itself, and by introducing a gender lens we can also open up to different types of innovations. So for example, by taking women, by taking a certain material tool and transforming it into a domain area that is particularly feminine, can open up to a different type of innovation. Conclusion about of these two types of approaches is that women in R&D positions and more women in R&D positions, and specifically more women as innovators, is not really enough to reach gender equality in the innovation process. Another way they found about looking at gender innovation is thinking of innovation as gendered. Basically, they prove that innovation is gendered based on the fact that science and technology encapsulate certain forms of masculinities. But still, these types of studies still link this masculinity and science and technology in an entrepreneurship environment rather than looking at innovation itself. When women are excluded as innovators, and by connoting innovation as masculine, gender inequalities are produced, according to these studies. What did I find problematic in the literature so far on gender innovation? The first is that the case of the importance of studying gender in innovation is based on the fact that gender is an over-present, it's a phenomenon present everywhere in the work practices, and also that as much as gender has been studied in entrepreneurship, it should be studied also in innovation. They don't build up an ad hoc case of why gender should be particularly interesting for innovation. When they talk about gender and innovation, they don't really look at the action loops, so how innovation is constructed through the relational dynamics between different actors and different institutions and different social contexts. And when cooperation is taken into consideration, it's more about the cooperation among institutions and organizations rather than looking at what sorts of mechanism of gender mechanism are reinforced through these cooperations. Also, they tend to neglect or they more focus on the fact that innovation is a single person action, usually a man, rather than a cooperative effort. Their focus is mainly on innovation policies rather than innovation as a process taking place in organizations. So as much as they tell us a lot about discourses in innovation policies, but not much about the practices of doing and undoing gender in the organization, and specifically in the innovation process. Another aspect that I found critical is that they conceptualize gender still in forms of dichotomies, of male-female masculinities and femininities, and other forms of gender kind of disappear in this literature. So what I want to address is basically to try to look at what types of identity of innovators are created and what aspects of the gendered selves are made problematic by these types of identities of innovators. And second, I want to step back from a conceptualization of gender in dualistic term as male and female. And how I'm going to do, how I tried to do that was to start looking at discourses and practices around innovator and doing innovation. So what is about doing innovation? What is an innovator? And how that creates and sustains certain mechanisms of inclusion and exclusion of specific bodies at work. The analytical framework I've been using is basically a post-structural feminist approach where gender is seen as an act which is intentional and performative. When I talk about performativity, I mean that what people say and do, if repeated over time, has effects. So actions and discourses shape gender identities. Gender bodies are culturally constructed through sanctions and tacit conventions. So norms are a key part of this definition of gender, but these norms are reproduced, challenged, and modified over time, so they never stay the same. I've been collecting data for my PhD in two organizations. Names are fictitious. Biomedicine for Life is a non-profit pharmaceutical research center based in Italy, and Techie Labs is the R&D branch of an IT multinational company here in the UK. In both companies, I spent 3 months and a half observing the everyday activities of workers there. I conducted 25 semi-structured interviews and 17 semi-structured interviews in Techie, along with documents, videos, etc. Just to note the composition, the gender composition of the two organizations. 82% of the employees in Techie Labs were male, and 82% of the employees in Biomedicine for Life women. How did I analyze all this data? I tried to follow three steps from Joya and NAG. I first coded interviews and the material openly, trying to stick closely to the data. That ended up in 60 codes for Biomedicine for Life, around 70 for Techie Labs. I grouped them into processes, which are the second order themes. And from these processes, I abstracted aggregate dimensions that I then fused into discourses and practices. So about the findings, about discourses on gendered identity of innovator, what I found is that intelligible identities of innovators in the two companies were those discourses that were based on thinking of a researcher as being strongly committed to his research or her research, perceiving research as a special activity, accepting long working hours or working from home, no clear separation among personal and working time, struggling managing family and work, and also curiosity, out-of-the-box thinking, continuous learning. Terms associated with their behavior in the organization were fighting, persisting, convincing as a way to compete with the competition within the company, but also to try to implement the ideas they had in mind, try to foster the ideas and get their ideas through. And also, I found that they enacted some regulatory practices. Specifically, they thought of cooperation as essential for keeping up with external competition. And yet, what they were enacting was a behavior of keeping things private, not sharing, that was actually beneficial for their individual success in the organization. From all this, what I've conclusions from the first findings is that the definition of innovator in both companies is both inclusionary and exclusionary. And the second is that gender in such definition is sort of neutralized. About the practices, I found practices of identification towards a group. So basically, they were defining themselves in terms of us and we, but also towards those regulatory practices that made them good researchers, good innovators. Another process of identification was the one with a specific field of expertise, so trying to create uniqueness of yourself and not competitive behavior also towards your own colleagues. So here's Julia from Techie Labs, and she in the interview she basically says, oh, I think there could be a gender issue here. We are just 10% of women. It's a male-dominated environment. It's quite competitive, and it doesn't match with me. I don't like it. And also she says, it's so competitive, and you need to justify yourself and as an individual. You need to make yourself known for something, and this is the way to progress and get on. So basically, she says, I collaborate with people, my colleagues, that are at the same time my competitors, and this shouldn't be. So what are the effects on the gender identity? Emotional distress. They were feeling the parental experience as being difficult to conciliate with work. They found the detachment from their work practices as very challenging. They would tell me, oh, I keep going at home and I keep thinking about ideas on my work. Oh, I should have done this, I should have done that. So they experience struggle, running codes, running experiments with animals, cannot be confined in fixed hours. And at some point, they need to go back home and pick up their sons from kindergarten. Also, there was a creation of a gender symbolic order for which compliance to intelligible identity of innovator and enactment of related practices was what made them successful as innovators. So my conclusions were basically that I found a problem in interpreting my data based on a symbolic gender order of the binary opposition male and female. Because the experiences, because certain features of an innovator, as I've described them, were engaging women and men transversally. Also, the identity of an innovator, as we have defined it so far, seems to disengage from a form of continuity of between sex, gender, sexual practices, and desire, as it's basically in our current literature on gender in post-structuralist terms. And the most important thing, I think, is the last point, whereas I didn't find the other as being the woman. It's not about being a woman. It's about being something different than the identity of the innovator as formulated and accepted and recognized by the people in the organization. Some limitations of my studies and some things that we can think of for the future. I have not focused on what are the social and economic structures in which all these norms that we have seen are created. I've looked in depth into the organization and what these norms meant for the people involved. Also, I've very much focused on the person. It's an anthropocentric view of gender, the one of Butler. This could be integrated with thinking about the role of materiality, how people use objects also in relation to defining their identity as an innovator and their gendered identity. Also, we could try to identify what are the potential interventions to overcome processes of marginalization that are not based on the distinction between men and women. So it's not about increasing the number of male and female. So what is it about? Thank you.